This is Maryland Morning on 88.1. I'm Sheila Cast. Today, we kick off a new series, The Checkup, How Healthcare is Changing in Maryland. In March 2010, President Obama signed into law the most significant changes in healthcare since Medicare and Medicaid were created in 1965. Over the coming months, every Tuesday, we'll look at how those changes are playing out in Maryland. How much will care cost? Where can people get it? And how will it be delivered? A key part of the law will take effect in just 4 weeks. Online marketplaces where individuals can buy health insurance will open in every state plus D.C. You'll have to sign up for health insurance or face a penalty, relatively small in the first year. For the first time, insurers will not be allowed to turn away people with pre-existing conditions. Most Marylanders with health insurance get it through their employers, and most will continue that way. But people who buy their own health insurance can shop on the new marketplace, the Maryland Health Connection, and if their incomes are low, they may get a government subsidy there. About 150,000 people are expected to sign up for insurance through Maryland's online marketplace in the first year. Who will they be? That's crucial to whether the Affordable Care Act will succeed. Today, we begin with the looming question, will enough young, healthy people without insurance, the so-called young invincibles, sign up for coverage? The state's online marketplace, the Maryland Health Connection, is headed by Rebecca Pierce, Executive Director of the Maryland Health Benefit Exchange. Pierce says the focus groups they've conducted show many young people are ready to sign up.
People actually want insurance. And the thought of somebody being a young invincible might be a misnomer. They might actually want the insurance and they just can't afford it right now. People want to have that peace of mind. They want to have the comfort level that they're not going to lose their shirts if they have some sort of bill. So I think, just targeting them from that message and helping them understand why it's so important, what the value of insurance is over the long run, we'll focus on that.
But that message does not resonate with some young people in Maryland.
No, no, I guess it's really just the way you brought up. A lot of persons don't even think they're going to be here but so long to really think they even need health insurance, to be completely honest. It's the way of life we live here in Baltimore. I think you can understand that to a degree.
That's David Hollins. He lives in West Baltimore. He's 35 years old, which puts him just within the young invincible demographic. He makes a couple thousand dollars a month under the table working in construction. Except for his asthma, he says he's pretty healthy. Producer Matt Purdy and I met him recently at the Inner Harbor.
So you don't have a sense, never mind about the penalty, I want health insurance. You don't feel like health insurance is something you need?
I don't. I really don't. I don't know why. Maybe because I'm still young and healthy, but I don't see it. And it's also my beliefs. Believe in God, His Holy Spirit and His power, not saying that fixes and heals everything. You still got to take advantage of proper care and whatnot, but it's only with so much another person can do for you. We all gonna get old, get sick, and die, so to a degree, I really don't see the ultimate need for it at my age right here and now.
I was gonna ask you how much you would be willing to pay for health insurance, but that's not the right question to ask you, is it?
Not at all, because I would pay whatever would be necessary. If it's a necessity, I'm gonna do what's necessary to take care of my needs, but it's nothing I've really seriously contemplated, to be honest with you.
If you have a bad asthma attack, do you go to a doctor or do you?
I go to the hospital. And I'm taken care of. The hospital can't refuse you whether you have insurance or not, so I go to the hospital, get what needs to be taken care of, and keep it moving.
Do they send you a bill?
But of course.
Do you pay it?
No. I'm just being honest.
You are why some people wanted to create this health insurance plan so that you wouldn't go to the hospital for asthma when maybe you could get
they
care.
They prefer I die in the streets.
No, they prefer you go to a doctor and that you not get into that situation to begin with or that you go to...
A lot of people don't like doctors, especially us African Americans. We don't like doctors. African American males, I'll be specific. We don't like going to doctors. My father hates going to doctors. It's genetic almost. We avoid going to doctors to the best of our abilities. We got a home remedy for just about everything. So now I think it's also cultural also beyond just the system. Different persons are raised different ways and deal with their issues, their health issues different ways. So I think that has a lot to do with it also.
David Hollins. We'll hear from some more young invincibles in a few minutes. But first, we spoke with Brad Herring, associate professor at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. He's an economist who looks at how people make decisions about health insurance. I asked him what the effect of young people not signing up would have on the cost of health insurance.
If they don't participate to the extent that people are hoping they participate, then the following will probably be the chain of events that occur, right? So over the next year, health insurers will realize that the premiums they quoted were probably too low because enough younger, healthier people didn't actually come into the pool. And so for the following year, right, for the open enrollment period in October 2014, for coverage in 2015, the carriers, the health insurance plans are going to have to make an argument that their premiums have to go up considerably because the younger, healthier people that they hoped would have joined didn't join.
Right? And the people they're insuring are essentially older and sicker
than they had predicted. Yeah. And then that will then cause like another chain of events where if they have to raise their health insurance premiums to cover a relatively older, sicker pool, then some of those people who were on the margin of purchasing, not purchasing, kind of moderate, healthy people, then potentially their decision where they previously purchased coverage will flip to now not purchasing coverage because the health insurance premium increased considerably.
How do people take all of these factors into account? How do they make sense of all this? How do they factor all this together?
So that's another one of these big unknown questions is to the extent to which people can really make fully informed, quote unquote, rational decisions, right? So I'm an economist and the way folks in my discipline try and tackle these issues is try and put some underlying framework and say, well, let's start off with an assumption that people are rational and they have relatively decent information and they're making comparisons between what they may spend out of pocket if they're uninsured versus what they would have to spend for a premium if they actually purchased insurance and think about people kind of weighing these two amounts and making a decision.
Do young people approach these questions differently than everybody else?
So I think the short answer is no. I mean, I think most of us think that people take these approaches to purchasing coverage in kind of like the same underlying framework, comparing the costs and benefits of whatever decision they make. So I think that younger versus older people are different in this to the extent that the costs and benefits wind up being a little bit different. But the underlying approach of comparing those costs and benefits are similar. Probably with the one following caveat, which again is kind of consistent with underlying economic theory, is really the extent to which someone is focused on the future versus the present. Like so to what extent are they myopic or to what extent are they discounting the future? And so we tend to believe, and I think this is supported by a lot of research, that younger people are more myopic and more thinking about the present. And that in turn poses this challenge for thinking about purchasing coverage because there you're essentially making this investment now, paying a premium now, where you think about the benefits accruing off into the future.
Myopic is a very negative description, nearsighted. Maybe the young people are right.
So I guess, yeah, that myopic term does have a negative connotation in the sense that someone's not adequately planning ahead for what really could happen in the future. And I think there's a lot of importance in helping young people, and I guess everybody overall, understanding the value of insurance, which is healthcare costs are random and they're going to the doctor, going to the hospital, it's really expensive. And so there's an importance of having insurance to protect you financially. So there's certainly that aspect of, again, the negative connotation of myopic. But then on the other hand, frankly, not purchasing health insurance coverage if you're a younger, healthier person, in some sense, that's actually somewhat of a rational decision if you compare these costs and benefits. And in turn, that's precisely why the subsidies are in place and the mandate's in place to really push people to get coverage because it otherwise would have been a rational decision to actually forego coverage.
Brad Herring is an associate professor at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. On 88.1 WYPR, I'm Sheila Cast, and this is The Checkup here on Maryland Morning. We're talking about young invincibles and their decisions about health insurance. 4 years ago, 29-year-old Amanda Schmidt became a freelance physics textbook editor.
I had to pay for my own benefits, and at the same time, it was very difficult for me to, you know, get started and have consistent work. And so, you know, the costs of paying for health insurance really didn't seem to add up for me.
We recently spoke with Schmidt and with Aaron Keating, a 30-year-old freelance mobile DJ. They both live in Baltimore. Neither has health insurance. They're both relatively healthy. Schmidt told us her good health factored into her decision not to get insurance.
You know, I really didn't have to go to the doctor's office regularly, and I really didn't have the money to be spending, you know, $100 to $200 a month on premiums, so it just didn't make sense to me, really.
And was it a decision that you made and then sort of forgot, or is it a source of something you worry about?
Yeah, I guess over the last few years, it has been more of a concern for me. I've had a few health things that have come up here and there, and there are things that I would have liked to have gone to a doctor for, and instead I've just started taking things into my own hands a little bit and, you know, diagnosing myself and self-treating and going into some very dark places on the internet researching my symptoms. It gets really scary. So I've definitely been reconsidering it. And if you tell somebody that you don't have health insurance, some people will look at you like you're crazy. Like, you know, I'll probably get struck by lightning when I leave this place today.
I hope not.
Yeah.
Aaron, how long have you been without health insurance?
I last had a health insurance plan, I think, when I shortly after I graduated college. I had like a catastrophic kind of health insurance plan that I got upon the encouragement of my parents.
Catastrophic, like a big deductible?
Large deductible, something like $2,500 or $5,000, from what I remember. It was very low cost, but I just didn't really see it making really a whole lot of sense with the amount of money that I was making, especially then. And now
because
that
you're,
I'm...
Because you're basically healthy.
Yeah, I don't have prescriptions really that I need to rely on. You know, it would be nice to have dental coverage, I suppose. But, you know, it hasn't really been a big concern of mine. The thing that I do worry about is the catastrophic kind of situation, you know, hit by a bus or broken arm or something like that. Just because I am pretty active and I could do something stupid pretty easily.
We spoke earlier with Professor Bradley Herring from Johns Hopkins about weighing the pros and cons, making a rational choice about insurance. I mean, from your perspective, Aaron, let me ask you, are you making a rational choice now by not carrying insurance the way that the health system is now?
I think I have my priorities. I think a lot about my priorities as far as where I'm putting my money. You know, like anybody, I should probably eat out less. But at the same time, like, I think when I have some spare change in my pocket, I really think about where that money's going. I recently bought a new car. Very important to me. I'm a mobile DJ. I need reliable transportation. My old car was falling apart. It was costing more and more money. So that was an important burden to take on, financial burden, you know, a $280 car payment a month. I need to invest in equipment. I need to invest in my future in other ways. Probably before, in my career, before I invest in my health, since it's not the highest priority for me right now. That being said, you know, I don't want to think about that situation where I have to, you know, do what? Rely on my family members or something to take care of me, to throw in some money into the pot, you know, to throw the community fundraiser because I got some kind of weird cancer. I don't know. You know, so I'm just, I don't know, I recently turned 30. I guess I'm starting to think about the bigger health questions that might come my way, I guess.
And Amanda, do you think it's been a rational choice for you?
Yeah, you know, it's interesting to talk about it now and just think, to talk about it in terms of priorities, because, of course, if either of us were suffering from really serious health problems, that would be the top priority, and it would mm-hmm. be something that we would put money towards, and, you know, that would be the most rational decision to make would be, you know, yeah, investing in our health. But I guess it really has been a matter of not just the pros and cons, but really thinking, assessing what the percentage, the probability, the possibility of me getting sick is. And it's been pretty small in the past. So I was once, I used to play poker a little bit when I was younger, and that's something you think about. It's not just what am I investing in the pot and what will I get back, but one of the most important parts is measuring that against your percentage of winning the hand. So you have to weigh those two things. So yeah, as I'm getting older, it's something that the percentage is getting higher, so I probably need to be thinking about it more.
On 88.1, this is The Checkup on Maryland Morning. I'm Sheila Cass speaking with Amanda Schmidt and Aaron Keating. They're both young, healthy, and uninsured, and we're talking about how the Affordable Care Act may affect their decision about whether to get health insurance. Amanda, you participated in one of the focus groups that the Maryland Health Connection held in Maryland. Did that experience change your perspective on the exchange?
Yeah, absolutely. So I was actually pretty uninformed about it. I didn't know about the October 1st, opening of these exchanges, the open enrollment. I didn't know actually that January 1st, people are technically supposed to have health insurance. Otherwise, they will have to pay, a small penalty for the year. So there were a lot of things that was new information for me. But I guess the biggest selling point for me, and there was a selling point, was the idea that people who make the amount of money that I make would probably be eligible for tax breaks or subsidies on health insurance. And that's really exciting for me. It sounds, if my premiums could actually be affordable, in the $70 range, I mean, it actually made that sound like a realistic thing. So
something to really... To really look forward to.
Yeah, I am looking
I'll
forward to
that.
It.
I'll second that.
Yeah.
What are you hearing from friends? Is this a topic of conversation?
I guess, a lot of my friends, I think they're just prioritizing their lives. A lot of them don't have health problems. And so the bigger priorities are, how am I going to pay my rent? I need to eat food. I need, taking care of some of these other basics first. And then, when they have to deal with health, then that's something that they deal with when it happens.
Is anybody in your circle talking about this, Aaron?
Not particularly. I feel like I'm at an age, I think that maybe if we had been having this conversation when I was like 22, 23, sort of recently out of college, I had a lot of friends who were making career decisions and the kind of deciding what their path in life was based on the fact that they expected to need health insurance. And I feel like at this point, most of the people in my peer group have kind of made that decision. And I certainly know a lot of people who are like me who are not super concerned about health insurance. But, it's kind of on their radar, but it's not really a big factor, in their lives or their finances. And then I have a bunch of friends who have had health insurance since they got out of college because they knew that they needed it or it was important to them. And they made sure that they were going to get that job that had it.
So, Amanda, what do you think would get young Invincibles on board?
I guess if health insurance was, really, really affordable. I don't know. I mean, I've heard that there's this $95 penalty. I think that's
$95. $95 or 1% of income the first year.
Right. Yeah. Well, yeah. So like $95 a year is probably not enough because that's as much as somebody would pay for 1 month of a health insurance premium, maybe. So if it was a certain amount of money that you were facing as a penalty, then that would be something to consider. But yeah, I think that, I don't think scare tactics are the way, but I think that, making a health plan that really, really is affordable, comparable to what young people are paying for other things that, like, they're probably really much less important expenses in their lives or something.
Amanda Schmidt and Aaron Keating. Amanda is a freelance physics textbook editor. Aaron Keating is a mobile DJ. He runs Ridiculous Entertainment. I'm Sheila Cast on 88.1. This is the first episode of our new series, The Checkup, How Healthcare is Changing in Maryland. We want Tuesday morning to be when you can count on learning something about healthcare in Maryland or understanding it better. Are there enough practicing doctors here if more Marylanders seek care? Will people who already have health insurance be hit with a change in their policy or in their premium? How will the changes affect smokers or people with mental health issues? We're interested in how these and other changes are affecting you. We want to hear about your experiences in this new healthcare setup, whether you're finding it easier to get covered by health insurance or harder because premiums are going up. What's working well or not working for you? Leave us a voicemail at 410-881-3162 or write to us at thecheckup@wypr.org. Again, the phone number is 410-881-3162 and the email address is thecheckup, one word, at wypr.org. I'm Sheila Cast. Ahead on Maryland Morning, jazz composer Christian McBride and the civil rights movement. Stay with us on 88.1.